Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The biggest convention of its kind ever in the UK, Wrestling MediaCon 2018, is heading to Manchester on the 8th and 9th of September. Wrestling MediaCon 2018 will feature live wrestling shows from Revolution Pro and Impact Wrestling, meet and greet with all the talent, panel discussions from the likes of Inside the Ropes, and workshops on how to get into the world of professional wrestling from former WWE writers and bookers. There will also be guest matches from Defiant, NGW, and an NWA World's title defense by Nick Aldis, taped for £10 of gold. Other names announced for Wrestling MediaCon 2018 include The Wrestling Observer's Dave Meltzer, Colt Cabana, Sean Waltman, Cultaholic, Botchamania, myself and Ollie from The Wrestle Ramble, and many more to be announced. Wrestling MediaCon comes to the Bowlers Exhibition Centre in Manchester, England on the 8th and 9th of September. Tickets are available now from WrestlingMediaCon.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined.
Hello, Swaft Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis, on this A Saturday Magazine episode. How the devil are you?
I'm great, and Rusev Day.
And Rusev Day, obviously.
I'm a bit over that now.
I'm not
over Rusev saying it, but I am over people saying every day is Rusev Day.
I'm very much over that sort of thing as well.
But it's kind of funny every now and again.
Every now and again. Like
just then, when I did it.
Yes. Have you got any plans for the weekend? Before actually we get into that, can I tell a quick little anecdote from the world of WrestleTalk for the
yes.
Swamp Nation? So you and I are trying to like make our working days a little bit.
I know what you're going to say.
Try and make our working days a little bit nicer because we're so like we as soon as we step into the office, to the moment we leave, and even then when we're walking home, or like I get the tube home, we're still working. When I get home, I'm still working. So we're trying to make our working lives just a little bit nicer. And to that end, I brought in my mini SNES so we could just spend a bit of time, just downtime, man, so we can actually enjoy a lunch break and have a bit of downtime.
Because sometimes we only speak properly to each other when we're recording Wrestle Ramble.
Yeah.
Because the rest of the time we're just writing scripts and we've got our
headphones on. Exactly. Yeah.
So it's
good like bonding time for us. So we played some Mario Kart on the SNES today, but you did not have a good time with it, did you?
Well, first of all, I wasn't very good at it because I'm not that au fait with the 92 Mario Kart. I couldn't have two weapons loaded up. That was outrageous, first off. The sliding mechanics were all wrong. And I forgot something that I haven't experienced for about a decade and a half, was that video games sometimes make me motion sick.
Because the way that Mario Kart is designed is that it is a 2D image that is on its back, and then there are like 2D images that are cardboard images that are on top of that going around. So the car is not really moving. It's the background. It's the road that is moving, and you are sort of the road is moving around you. But unfortunately, because of that motion, it made you feel a bit queasy and you had to leave the studio for a bit and go for a walk.
Yes, needed some fresh air. Yeah, this is a... I don't put myself in situations where I get motion sick anymore, but it was the just worst being a kid. I can't get on a pedalo because I will get sick from the motion of the water.
Yeah.
When I went to Cornwall last year, I got really sick kayaking because I thought I'd be okay because I'd be concentrating on the motion of steering the oars. But no, I got pretty sick halfway in, and then we had to go all the way back to the shore.
Oh, no.
I'm just a little bit of a sensitive petal sometimes.
Oh, you poor little princess.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, on to nicer things. Have you got anything on this weekend?
Well, I don't think I told you this. I've got an 80s party to go to.
You did not tell me this.
Yeah, so it's my friend's 30th, and he's like a proper adult. He's got a house with a garden. So we're going round there.
Oh, don't make me a proper adult.
Yes, kind of. His is like a full house, though.
Oh, I see.
Like a full, proper suburbs house where they're blatantly prepping for kids.
Mm.
Yeah, it's like, and they've got like this massive kitchen, and I walk in, and I'm like, this is like going around my parents' friend's house. What's happened here?
Interesting.
You're technically 3 months younger than me. And because we're born in the 80s, so it's an 80s party. And
you were born basically at the tail end, though.
88, yeah.
Yeah, so
still counts. You're the dragon, my friend. I read it as 80s themed, so I just kind of passed that on to my lady partner. She was like, yes, started making a Madonna costume by ordering bits from eBay online. We've been getting all these little packages through various bits of her costume. She likes this sort of stuff. And thank God I checked. Because I was like, oh, what's everyone else dressing up as? And I'm like, we're not dressing up. I was like, come on, it's you know, Thingy's birthday. And then Thingy said, oh, no, it's just 80s themed. Like, it's going to be 80s music. It's not a fancy dress thing.
Well, that's not a theme then.
I know, right? So I was going to go as Randy Savage. I was going to buy it as a work expense, like at this 80 quid Randy Savage costume.
Yeah.
I was going to go as Hulk Hogan because that would be more recognisable to all the people there. But I thought, do I really want pictures of me online dressed up as famed racist remark Hulk Hogan?
Exactly.
Probably not. I can't do that these days.
Not really, no. But that's not really an 80s theme then. That's just you're having a party and someone is putting on I Love the 80s.
Yes, which is still great because he loves a power ballad. So there's going to, from about 10 p.m. onwards to about 4 in the morning, it's going to be some intense fisting.
Mm.
Fisting being the, you know, when you hold your fist in front
and
of you.
Sort of, you pull it down ever so slightly.
For Tina Turner and whatnot.
It is not how I would do a theme. My wife in particular, she loves a theme. And if she's doing a theme, she is going all out on said theme. Like she'll have been listening to this podcast and she will be fuming that this person has desecrated the term theme just because they're putting on a CD.
I was shocked. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit disappointed.
She goes all out with a theme. Like, we take it in turns for Valentine's Day, and you know, she, every time it's her turn to do it, she goes all out, man. She puts me to shame, and I have to step my game up to try and do something that is like half as good as what she would do. But I never quite manage it. She once, like, we did she created like a campfire, like camping scenario in our living room. So she put stuff around the living room to be like stars and almost like just like lights and this, that and the other. And then she put on the TV, she had like an actual campfire with someone playing an acoustic guitar, playing Everlong because it's one of my favorite songs. And she'd created like a little mini tent for us in the living room so we could have like campfire food in this sort of campfire scenario.
That's awesome. That sounds really lovely and magical. But I also know that your lovely wife is super competitive.
Yeah.
Is she actually into themes, Luke? Or is she actually into showing you up on a kind of turn-based format that you two have?
I do think that she would just love it if I did better. I think she would be so happy if I just did it better.
Because she's created the perfect opponent that then she can crush the next time, maybe.
Maybe. Maybe that's what it is. I never considered it that way.
What are you doing this weekend?
What am I doing this weekend? Well, we were going to go see my brother, but unfortunately we can't really afford it. We had quite an expensive April, so we're trying to like not spend as much in May. Although we've got two things. It's the royal wedding Is it next weekend?
Is it?
The royal wedding? I think it's either next weekend or the weekend after.
It's come around quick.
Hasn't it just?
I get confused with all the babies.
Yeah, well, because we've just had one of those.
Yeah.
But it's annoying this year because, like Bellend, they decided to do it on a Saturday, so we don't get the day off work. Mm. Not that you and I would have got a day off work anyway, because you and I are workers. We're working the bank holiday Monday. But, yeah, other people don't get to have the day off work, like we did last time they did a royal wedding.
Selfish.
It is selfish, really.
How dare you, Harry and Meghan.
Exactly, yeah. Welcome to, you know, being a part of our royal family, I guess. It's not mine, but it's like our country's royal family.
No, I pay for them.
I suppose we do.
Yeah,
yeah,
they're
yeah.
ours.
They're ours, they're yeah. Ours. We technically own
it's
them.
Not back in the day when we were literally theirs.
So we're going to be doing a lot of housework, I think. We're going to do like some big sorts, and that's what we need to do, really. There's a lot of stuff in the house at the moment that just needs to be, like, particularly under our bed. You need to clear out, man. Mm. It needs to sort. Just.
Well, that sounds fascinating.
It's not exactly the most exciting of weekends, but I might try and bake a pie.
What? What kind of pie?
I haven't quite decided yet. There's a Guinness and mushroom pie in Bosch's new cookbook, which I got for my wife for Valentine's Day.
I think you should try and cook one of the Rock's famed pies.
Yeah, like a poontang pie.
A poontang pie. What does one put in a poontang pie? It sounds like a form of cannibalism.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to do a poontang pie, but we were watching MasterChef, and I was like, I've never made anything with pastry before, so I might try and make a pie from scratch. So I'll make the pastry and I'll make the filling and just sort of see how I get on. I'm quite excited about the prospect of it, to be honest. Last night I made some sticky shiitake mushrooms on a bed of sticky rice, and it was excellent. So I'm quite excited actually that I might get to do this.
I once made a jacket potato in the microwave, so I get where you're coming from. But let's get on with the show. And backlash might be tomorrow. Luke can hardly wait. But right now, it's our weekend Wrestle Ramble show where we sum up the week's news, we do some crap gimmicks, and we take your questions. But we are kicking off with Batista's rather depressing comments about his potential and then scrapped WWE return that was apparently planned at one point for WrestleMania 34 for him to be Ronda Rousey's tag team partner.
Yes, so Dave Meltzer had originally reported that one of the ideas was going to be The Rock. It was going to be The Rock and Rousey versus Hunter and Steph, which is the match they wanted to do after WrestleMania 31 when they shot the angle that kind of kick-started this whole Ronda Rousey thing, really. But then that sort of fell through because Rock couldn't make the date. Rock has said that in interviews that, yeah, we really wanted to do it, but we just couldn't work it out.
It's because he's making every movie ever.
Pretty right much,
yeah. Even the movies he's no longer in, he is somehow in control of. Have you seen he's producing John Cena's next movie?
I did not know.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
No.
So John Cena will be working for The Rock.
Wow.
What a weird world.
I mean, so impressive is The Rock in Hollywood, and so much clout and pull that man has in Hollywood, that he can get a video game movie made. Like, and those aren't, that's not an easy sell. It really isn't. Do you know how I know? Because I've got a book out.
Oh, come on.
Fine.
Why do I let that in here?
I don't know. I left it in here. I wasn't even planning on doing that. But yeah, you can go buy my book on video game movie adaptations. I don't talk about Rampage there, but there was a Rampage movie that was trying to get made for years.
Mm.
And then The Rock came on and was like, oh, I'll do it. And then they got it made. But that's how powerful The Rock is. So anyway, so after The Rock fell through, one of the other names that Dave Meltzer reported was Batista.
This was the second name. So WWE were like, oh, we can't get The Rock. Should we give someone give Batista a call?
Yeah.
I've got him on WhatsApp.
So they've
got a group with the old
Evolution.
I nearly called them Fortune.
That's DNA,
I'm
mate.
I was like trying to think, what's the group of four people with Ric Flair?
That's
yeah, my
Fortune.
Mind
yeah.
automatically went for short-lived.
It was Bobby Roode, AJ Styles.
Kazarian.
Kazarian was in that
Ric
group.
Ric Flair.
And wasn't James Storm in the group at one point?
Oh, it wasn't. Didn't really stick to the four part
no.
of that name, did it?
Anyway, so Batista was the second name that was reported. And now Batista has confirmed that it was, in fact, he was on the list. Like, they had a call, they had a conversation. And I'll pass this over to you because this is your news story.
Yeah, this is, well, it's not my news story. It's the internet. But I've got the quote here, quite a long quote, that I'm going to read in full because it's hilariously depressing.
Oh, bless Batista.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming this was on the press junket for Avengers Infinity War.
One of many.
One of many.
It was with 106.7 The Cub. I don't know how that's a name for something. The way American radio stations
well,
work
it's
is
just
quite
the
weird.
FM frequency, right?
Yeah, it just sounds weird to my ears, though.
Yeah, 106. What's like, you know, KISS 103?
but that's the right way round.
Oh, I see what you're saying. It's like dates.
Yeah. So this was Batista talking to that radio show, and he says, "This is all insider stuff, and I usually don't share. I'm really an old school kayfabe guy." So let's unpack that first bit.
Yeah.
I think he likes to think he's an old school kayfabe guy, but he's done a lot of interviews in the last 3 years, openly talking about backstage creative plans wrestling is not real.
I was going to say his interviews with Chris Jericho were quite enlightening in just like, that last run I had was bloody awful, and here's why it was awful. The crowd liked Daniel Bryan too much. That was point number one, essentially. And then there was just multiple points that went after that. So I don't really think he is that much of an old school kayfabe guy.
Well, I think maybe he was, but then he came back in 2014 and apparently he told Vince, like, I need to be a heel. I want to be a heel. The crowd are going to boo me.
He knew.
He knew. But Vince was like, now you're a babyface. Look at you.
Look at the size of you.
You're that animal.
Yeah.
Dave. You're a baby face through and through.
You know, when we were trying to think of like big guys that got over because they were big, maybe Batista is one of those lads.
I think Batista has something, though. He always
had charisma.
A Goldberg-style explosiveness.
Mm. Yeah.
Especially when he would
shake them ropes,
yes. So maybe that was what broke him. He was a kayfabe guy before then, but now he's like, screw it. I'm going to expose the business every other movie interview I have.
Now he's just a jaded Hollywood star.
So back to Batista. But they reached out to me, that being WWE, earlier this year to possibly come back and do that thing with Ronda. And I said that I would be willing to do it only if we tease something for me and Hunter to go to Mania next year. And they said, yeah, that would be great. I love that idea. And I said, well, that's great. I'll come back a few times during the year and we'll tease it and we'll work it and we'll milk it. Milk it, Luke, for podcast listeners.
You are doing milking action as if it were a cow.
Really quick milking action. I'm good at the milking. And we'll go to Mania, me and Hunter, next year. Oh, I love that idea. Let's do it. And so we literally talked about that for like 3 weeks. So there was a plan at one point for this year's WWE storylines for Batista to kind of have that part-time big return feel. Like, I get from that, he'll do a Money in the Bank match. He'll do a SummerSlam match. He'll be on a Survivor Series angle, Royal Rumble, all to set up and build towards the Triple H versus Batista match at next year's WrestleMania, which Batista has said forever that's what he wants to go out on.
Is that the match that people really want to see, though? Is that like is that the mouth-watering match that you want to have Batista come back for? Oh, another match with Triple H.
You said you don't get excited for Triple H matches.
Well, that is on the Patreon exclusive podcast, which has just gone live as of this recording. This will have gone up on Saturday, so it's been out for a couple of days. But on that show, I did say that I struggle to get excited for Triple H matches. I always have done. So maybe that is part of that, yeah.
I just feel like Batista,
the Ronda match doesn't count because I was excited for Ronda Rousey.
Batista seems to be coming from such a good place about this, and I just love his performance. When I think of Batista, I now just think of Drax in Guardians of the Galaxy, and in his 2014 comeback, he put over a lot of younger guys. He put over Daniel Bryan in the main event, and he put over the Shield, who would then disband a month afterwards. Another thing
not
that
even
Batista,
the month out, it was the night after.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. Of course. Another thing that Batista's been very critical about WWE for doing. He was like, "Well, what's the point of me putting them over if you're gonna beat them the next night, break them up the next night?" And I feel like he's done the putting people over thing, and this is what Batista wants. And for a storyline character arc, if you're really into your own wrestling character, I totally see why he would want to do that. And I think there is a poetic justice to Batista starting out in Fortune and then finishing his career fighting Triple H.
Yeah. I mean, all I'm saying is that was a match that I would have been into in 2005, less so in 2019.
Oh, I don't mind it as that big special Triple H attraction. I mean, at least it gets Triple H like away from everyone else for a bit and other people can breathe. Stephanie won't be burying younger people. She'll be
burying Dave.
They're burying Dave until Triple H knocks her off the apron through something. I love that yearly angle that they do. But that was not to be, because then he carries on in the quote. So they talked about it for 3 weeks. And then they just stopped calling me. I sent a text to Hunter. I was like, hey man, I don't know if you put any more thought into what's going on. I'm really excited about the possibilities. And I literally never heard back from them. They just stopped talking to me about it. Man, I don't know what else I can try to do. I want to end my career the right way. I'm faithful and loyal to the WWE. I'm proud of being from there, and I want to do good business with them. But they just don't make it easy, you know? They just don't.
It's an incredible quote from Batista there, from big old Dave. And it is, it's kind of that sort of like enlightening kind of quote that you hear that just like sheds a light on the backstage politics of WWE and what it must be like dealing with them as a company. It's kind of amazing, really. You know, and here he is, like, you'd think as well, as a company, they'd want to be trying to work with Dave because, I mean, he's starring, he's currently one of the stars, he's on the poster, he's in the credits of what is set to become one of the biggest movies of all time, Avengers Infinity War. It's already passed Justice League in terms of, like, it's only been out for, like, 5 days, you know, at this point. It's coming up to another incredible weekend. It's probably going to do, you know, 1.5 billion, if nothing else, and it could do upwards of that. It could get towards 2 billion if it really pushes itself. It hasn't had its Chinese opening yet. So you'd think that's a sort of, like, they'd be now be like, oh, he's one of our guys. He's loyal to us. We need to bring him in and do something with him and try and bring in some of that mainstream appeal.
Yeah, considering all the weird movie promotion things WWE have had over the years, there was, what was it? It was like, it wasn't Fast and Furious. It was another movie that was very much like Fast and Furious a few years ago.
Mm.
And they were going crazy promoting it while Fast and Furious was actually being released with The Rock. And it's like, well, why aren't you doing that?
Yeah,
one,
why are you doing
which
that?
Which actually links back to your product.
To wrestling, yeah, exactly.
And it just feels like, I mean, this is
sometimes
my
sometimes there's just Jeremy Piven movies to promote.
Just hanging around Jeremy Piven. I can't wait for Summerfest this year.
Oh, can't wait.
It just, and this is speculation on my part, but it feels like, and this is with the whole Rock and Triple H tension thing that's been rumored and reported on before.
It's not just reported; they both said it as much.
Do you want to give us a recap of that
before
I get into it?
Yeah, sorry, I mean, I don't want to interrupt, but it's less of sort of a rumoured thing that Hunter, Triple H and The Rock have always said, like, they had a very professional rivalry. They weren't just rivals in the ring, they were also rivals outside of the ring. They were very much coming up at the same time, they were kind of like rising through the mid-cards, but, you know, you had Triple H had DX, and you had Rock with the Nation of Domination, and they were feuding over the Intercontinental title, and then a couple of years later, they're feuding over the WWF Championship. They're the two tippity-top guys because Austin was out on the injury shelf. But there was always these stories that Triple H was trying to hold Rock down because he was like, he's not ready for this. You know, he's not ready to be in the main event yet. We need to, like, I'm in ready for the main event, obviously. Look at me. And, you know, he was sort of like doing this and the other, but they weren't sure about The Rock. He hated all of Rock's moves. He hated the people's elbows. So he was trying to bury that and get that kind of, like, you know, put the kibosh on that. And Rock has said that, you know, they've just had this very professional rivalry. And Triple H has said, yeah, we had a professional rivalry. But you got to wonder whether there was something a little bit that has gone on from that since, because The Rock has left WWE and has become one of the biggest movie stars in the entire world. And there's always those stories from WWE that if you leave the company and succeed, you are not looked upon fondly. Rock, I
initially,
think Rock, yeah, initially, yeah.
Until you become too big for them to ignore, and they then fall over themselves to work with you again.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so Triple H, during this time when Rock was doing like the Scorpion King and stuff like that, Triple H would have, I've been in Blade Trinity. Oh, a little other crappy part over there. So, I mean, I think Triple H is a wrestling guy. I don't think he ever thought, I want to make it in the movies. But I think, there's probably a bit, but I do genuinely believe the way he operates,
yeah.
He is a wrestling guy. He's more than content to be make everything territorial again.
Him matching Ric Flair's record of World Championship reigns is probably more important to him,
yes,
than having a billion-dollar movie to his name.
However, that's not to say that he doesn't harbour resentment to people like The Rock and other people who wrestlers who leave WWE and find success where he, you know, quite fell on his face a bit and failed. And Batista, being the guy that Triple H brought in and, you know, used in his Fortune faction to build up, to get over, and then Batista's like, I'm going to try and, you know, make it in movies for a bit. And that was like 2009 when Batista first left, and WWE did not help him one bit. And he was making all these direct-to-DVD releases. He really, like, took the workhorse route of being an actor. I watched some of his early films as they were coming out because I was interested. I was always... he always had something about him in those movies. The movies weren't good, but he was good in them. And it was just a matter of time. And even now, there's just a decade later after that, there's just this reluctance on WWE's part to even acknowledge that Batista has become a very big deal in the acting world. And I just... this stuff here and the fact that he text Hunter... This is from the horse's mouth, as it were. This is from Batista. This isn't Wrestling Observer hearsay or PW Insider, I heard from a source.
Or Bruce Pritchard.
It is Batista himself saying, I text Hunter and I have not heard back. And you've got to think, that's been like, I've not heard back for a while. Mm. Since like January, when they were planning who was going to be Ronda's tag partner.
Can I play devil's advocate and play...
Play away.
Perhaps play the other side.
So only if you do the Pacino impression.
Pacino!
Is the bit in that movie?
Well, there's a swear in there as well. It's when Keanu Reeves is walking around Pacino's flat and he doesn't realise there's a bed there. And he's like, well, where does he F? And Pacino just walks and goes, everywhere! Great. Oh, Devil's Advocate, man. What a film. It's an amazing film. That's my Pacino.
That's your Pacino.
Shouty Pacino.
Chewing scenery Pacino.
He just walks into it and goes, give me the scenery. Om nom 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 nom. But yeah, I want to play devil's advocate slightly as well, because this is like, we are putting some our own speculation onto this. Like, there is...
pulling into the speculation station.
Exactly. You know, there's always kind of like stories to back this up, but it is very much speculation. We don't know what Triple H is really thinking. We don't know what the backstage scenarios are. But to play devil's advocate and to pull into speculation station... Rock was their first choice, but Rock couldn't do it. Batista was their second choice, but then you had the issue of Jason Jordan going out with an injury, and Dean Ambrose had already fallen down with an injury as well. So then you're looking like, well, okay, what can we do with Kurt Angle at WrestleMania? Because Angle will have needed a WrestleMania program. So they were like, oh, well, that's fallen through, so we'll just put him into the Rousey position. I know we had this conversations with Dave, but... we'll just move past that because we've got Angle. We don't have to pay him any more because we're already paying him. That's just, you know, some devil's advocate.
And that could also be true. I don't think these things mutually exclusivity out each other. That's a terrible sentence. And it does also play into the end of Survivor Series, where Triple H did turn on Kurt Angle and then turned on other people.
Did he turn on Kurt Angle?
He definitely turned on Kurt Angle. So Triple H was on Team Raw.
Yeah.
And he beat up... Yeah, he turned on Kurt Angle, then he also turned on Shane McMahon. So it was just a big way to dick on Kurt Angle.
Right. And he did pedigree Jason Jordan the week before or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Do you remember how that all paid off? And like they just rewrote the history and just said that, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn cost SmackDown the match.
Dastardly heels. But so it does tie into all of that as well. But I just think, and you know, Angle, Triple H, and Rousey and Stephanie McMahon was a really blow-away match at WrestleMania.
It was the best match of the night.
Yeah, it was the best match of the night, and it's made a star. So we can't argue with that side of things. But I'm just... baffled that WWE wouldn't want to grab Batista for this. He's 50 next year, he says later on in this interview. He says, this is probably my last chance of doing a WrestleMania program. I don't want to be the old guy in the ring. I'm in great shape now, but I don't want to be past it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a ticking time bomb. There's a time frame to this. So to have Batista, not just for this WrestleMania, for next year's WrestleMania, but to work several dates throughout a year when at this time you don't know if Brock Lesnar's going to be around. WWE's mindset is usually to really go after these people hard, and here's one who's saying, I will happily come back and work for you, and they're like, nah, I'm good actually.
Unless, of course, the other devil's advocate again, playing the other side of things, maybe...
Everywhere!
Triple H is thinking... me versus Batista isn't a match that's going to put butts in seats for WrestleMania next year. Because
when has that stopped him?
Because I've already got a bigger match in play. You know, he's already planned out what his Mania match is for next year, and it's bigger than Dave.
I think he...
It's Randy Orton.
Yeah. I think he starts with his entrance, mm-hmm. and then he works his way backwards.
Like our fancy booking warfares.
Was it you who told me that Triple H designs a lot of the logos for NXT stars?
I did. It was on a podcast. Yes. So Triple H, he's like, the guy called him a designer for NXT. Like, he draws all the logos and stuff. So he'd have drawn, like, the CFO logo for Undisputed Era and all this sort of stuff. And he's very much like, you know, a creative guy. And there, I do know that there was a period in time where they really thought that the Skull King, or whatever the hell they call it, his Skull King, what nonsense that he has, was going to be like its own line of things. They were going to do like comic books behind it and action figures and all this sort of stuff. But there's really two people in this world that like it, and that is Triple H and Stephanie McMahon.
I love that about Triple H.
Yeah.
That he's just like, you know, I'm the creator. Oh, I'm also a super nerd who stays up, you know, like Stephanie's down to, Hannah, can you come and help with the kids? Just a second, Stephanie, I'm finishing my comic book. He's doing his little doodles.
Colouring inside the lines.
The best way to put Undisputed Era, put some yellow in there, I like that yellow. I think that's adorable.
I would just like to think that he went into like this big pitch meeting with the WWE marketing team, and he was like, guys, it's time for us to do Skull King as like a character. We can make these comic books, we can make films, we can make cartoons, we can make action figures. And someone went, mate, it's Skeletor. And he went, oh yeah, it is a little bit.
No, it's totally different from Skeletor, man. No, it's because it's different.
He's got a hat.
He's got a different name, first off. He's called the Skull King.
Yeah.
Poor Trips. But even poorer Batista.
Absolutely, yeah. Feel bad for Batista. The Wrestle Ramble will be right back after these short messages. This episode of Wrestle Ramble is brought to you in part by Patreon. For just $5 a month, you can get access to our Patreon-exclusive podcast, Wrestle Ramble Extra, where Ollie and I review classic pay-per-views from wrestling's past. Previous episodes include Money in the Bank 2011, Armageddon 2000, Wrestle Kingdom 10, WrestleMania 25, and more. The next episode continues the WrestleMania theme with arguably the best Mania ever, WrestleMania X7, featuring the epic main event of The Rock vs. Stone Cold Steve Austin for the WWF Championship. It also has the Triple H vs. Undertaker match you're supposed to forget happened, and the Gimmick Battle Royal! Your backing will get you access to all previous episodes too. Head on over to patreon.com/WrestleTalk for more information. That's patreon.com/WrestleTalk.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So we're just going to quickly sum up the rest of the week's news. How about that news this week?
Saucy news.
Wasn't a big news news week, to be honest.
It was dominated by one topic, really.
Yeah, greatest Royal Rumble fallout stuff.
Yeah.
So,
and we were worried about doing that as the headline because we thought it's been over a week since the greatest Royal Rumble. I mean, I'm pretty sure no one really cared about it come Saturday.
Yeah, it's insane, all those crazy stories. There's the Ultimate Warrior story.
That's my favourite one.
There's the fact that Sami Zayn, and in the latest Wrestling Observer newsletter that's literally just come out before we're recording this, Dave Meltzer has said, it is why he wasn't booked on. It's because he is of Syrian descent. And Meltzer goes into how the announcers kept on calling this a progressive city. Progressive was the buzzword. And Meltzer said, this is actually regressive because 3 years ago, WWE were actually trying to push Sami Zayn as a Middle Eastern star because he is of Arab descent and he can speak many languages. So he wrestled in Saudi Arabia three consecutive nights, three or four years ago. And here he is removed from the show because of his ethnicity.
Yes, because
so that is regressive. You are going backwards.
Yeah, because the political landscape within Saudi Arabia and their relationship with Syria is very different now than what it was in 2012.
Yeah, it's all about MBS. I don't want to call him my boy anymore, MBS, because originally I was a bit gung-ho for Mohammed bin Salman, but now it's a bit like
We don't know if he's the one as well that when Vince McMahon was making this deal for the Greatest Royal Rumble, as you and I speculate, that this was very much a Vince thing. This doesn't feel like it's a Triple H Stephanie project. This is very much a Vince McMahon project. And when he was doing his dealings with, like, the way this is described is with one of the princes, so whoever requested this show, they gave him a list of people they wanted to appear. And on that list was The Undertaker. And it was, they didn't give us the full list, but the other names were Yokozuna and The Ultimate Warrior. Because they were just like, that's wrestling that I know. And those are the guys that I want. Not knowing the fact that one of them died a couple of years ago and the other one died almost 18 years ago. Apparently that's the reason why Hiroki Sumi was in the match. Because he's a bit like Yokozuna. He's a Japanese sumo gimmick. So it's basically Yokozuna, but we're not going to tell you that it is Yokozuna.
Yeah, we're not lying if we don't say it's not. Other things that happened, there's the Lesnar-Reigns finish. A lot of people are sharing a gif where Reigns' foot is actually on the ring apron.
Yeah.
And they're saying, oh, well, that, you know, Lesnar did win, actually, because only one of Reigns' feet hit the ground.
People care about this far too much.
But now WWE have even said that both Reigns' feet touched the ground first. I've watched it. I still think Reigns' feet touch his heels on the floor.
Again, people care too much,
man. Is it the whole sole? The whole sole of the boot?
What was the botched finish of this? What was the finish supposed to be?
I don't know how they thought that was going to work. Yeah, so I guess Lesnar's feet maybe would touch the ground first by the force of the cage going a bit further.
Yeah, I was going to say, because like last year they did the Braun Strowman Big Show match, which ended with Braun Strowman doing the running power slam to Big Show through the cage, and they announced Braun as the winner. And it's sort of the same sort of thing here. Reigns did the offensive move, but the other guy won. And it's how Vince Russo became WCW champion. Actually, Goldberg speared him through the cage, and they were like, well, because Vince Russo left the cage first, he's declared the winner. It's why these finishes aren't always that good.
Mm. Plus, what we're all kind of ignoring, and Botchmania's Matthew pointed this out in his excellent Best Botches of the Week article on WrestleTalk.com. No one's talking about the heinous head bump Reigns took in this, because he effectively DDTs himself on the cage wall, on the ground, falling through the ropes.
Very true.
He probably spikes himself down. It looks brutal.
Yeah.
But poor guy. Reigns is such an he's got the most thankless job in wrestling.
Oh, poor lad.
Really, apart from, like, you know, maybe John Laurinaitis back in the talent relations days. Just one other thing. I incorrectly attributed a quote from PW Insider in the WrestleTalk news earlier this week about WWE stars expressing their unhappiness backstage over the Greatest Royal Rumble thing. That was on PW Insider. I said it was Mike Johnson who wrote it. It was actually their other reporter, Dave Scherer. So
It's still PW Insider.
Still PW Insider, but I said Mike Johnson by accident.
Yeah.
And how about that Chris Jericho stuff? This is your wheelhouse?
Yes, this is like sort of a back-to-back story, I suppose. PW Insider are reporting that Chris Jericho is returning back to New Japan. Jericho earlier this year said that he was done with New Japan. They were trying to work out deals and dates. He wanted to work with them again, but you know, a deal could not be reached. And someone asked him on Twitter, "Are you doing anything in New Japan?" And he said, "Nope, that's done."
And I can't believe.
No, I can't believe.
I actually thought, "Oh, okay, it's."
I actually think that at that time the deal, but like a deal has now been sorted out because I mean, New Japan are known for their long term booking. They're known for like, you know, sensible booking, and they did this like deal where he attacked Tetsuya Naito at New Year's Dash and then have never followed up on it. That seems like such an un-New Japan thing to do. It's a very WWE thing to do, but it's sort of thing that you just wouldn't expect out of New Japan,
especially when they were in the States doing their show.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So it feels like they were trying to work out deals and they just couldn't, but now rumor has it they have worked out deals. We'll certainly know anyway, because apparently he's going to debut like this weekend at New Japan shows this weekend.
So is it for Dominion's this weekend?
No, it's at Wrestling Dontaku is this weekend,
right.
And then
right.
They're going to set up and then they're doing Dominion next month in Osaka,
because it's road to Dontaku.
Yeah,
I hate those road shows. they're just like glorified house shows. But the but there's some other New Japan news. Well, I was going to say, at the Road to Dontaku show that's just finished before we came in here, Marty Scurll and the Young Bucks, your new Never Six Man Open Weight Champions.
Lovely stuff.
It's a bit nice.
Bullet Club is fine. And tying into other New Japan news. Reportedly, their ticket sales for their next show they're doing in the United States, which is going to be in July, is not doing great. So when they did their show earlier this year, when they did Strong Style of Old from Long Beach, they sold out their 5,000 seat in 20 minutes. There was all these reports of just like, they need to book bigger buildings, because like, you sold out 5,000 seats in 20 minutes. Like, that's a ridiculous thing. You should have really had the foresight to book a bigger building. So they did book a bigger building for their next show, for the G1 special. That it's not the actual G1 special, but they're doing a G1 special show in San Francisco at the Cow Palace, which is reportedly set up for 14,000 seats when you have a pro wrestling event there. And according to PW Insider, they sold 3,300 tickets in their first full day, which is, it's not as good as selling out 5,000 seats in 20 minutes. And they're basically, New Japan are expecting that they will basically reach a plateau of 4,000, and then that will be how many tickets they'll have sold. But the report is, they are reaching out to a big star to try and bring them back in, to try and help bolster ticket sales. So I wonder if that big star is Jericho. And that's basically, these two stories are linked together. And that's how Jericho and New Japan have reached this deal.
Maybe. I don't know what... I just thought Goldberg.
Well, I mean,
when I heard Big Star, and knowing that Goldberg had those New Japan talks, was it last year?
Yeah.
Just... I mean, that would be... Goldberg wouldn't have to travel as far. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But so Cow Palace was 2004 No Way Out.
No Way Out, absolutely. Yeah, so it's kind of like, you know, it's some news for New Japan. It's not great news for New Japan, but they are actively trying to sort it out. One of the, I thought was a really interesting part of this, though, is apparently Ticketmaster have put aside 1,000 tickets for the show already for NJPW club members, which is like, but they're all in Japan. So it's very unlikely that they're going to be buying, 1,000 people are going to be buying these tickets and flying over to the US, but they have to hold them just in case they do want them.
Yeah, it's like part of the club membership,
yes,
isn't it?
That's
not
right,
the
yeah.
Bullet Club membership,
no,
but the New
or
Japan
Honor Club membership.
Yes,
but yeah, so that's some New Japan news for you.
I don't have any other news, but Keith Lee is still seeming to be going to WWE.
Yes, Dave Meltzer first reported this in March, that Keith Lee and Walter, the man that was on my T-shirt, were both offered WWE contracts, and Walter said that he denied that he offered, and as did Keith Lee. But since then, Keith Lee has lost a lot of the titles that he has had, the titles that he won quite recently, and it's now being reported by PW...
PW Torch,
the Torch
have said that both men were offered contracts. Keith Lee's taking his is going to be starting in NXT in June, which is around the same time as the Chicago Takeover show is, so you probably expect to see him in the audience there. But Volta, however, what was definitely, well, they say he was offered a contract, but he's accepting bookings in September.
Mm.
So he might not have taken it, which is, you know, good for you if you don't take a WWE contract.
Absolutely, yeah. But they do not take that sort of news lightly, though. They will they will hold that against him for the rest of the time. In fact, it could very well be that Alexander Wolf doesn't get a push off the back of it.
What was really interesting is PW Torch went into how Keith Lee's kind of tryout match at WrestleMania Access Weekend was received against Chris Hero. Apparently, it got mixed reviews from WWE officials.
Oh, really?
Because they kind of saw him as someone who just did moves. The quote was, because he did moves. And I think you mean it's just because he does big move and then big move. I happen to love that.
Oh, well, he's absolute money-making star, yeah. Keith Lee. He's one of the best in the industry at the moment. He's one of the best big men that's currently working. He's got charisma out the wazoo.
Exactly. You do a move and then you do it like he walks around doing this really cool body movement thing.
Bask in his glory,
yes.
Man. Absolutely bask
and
in
his
glory.
His promos, his voice are just superb.
He's great.
But Luke, he did some moves.
Oh, well, just moves, man, isn't it? That's all you do is just moves.
But they said, I think it was Wade Keller. No, it was someone else. I won't confuse reporters on websites again. PW Torch then went on to say that what they've heard from people in NXT is when you go into NXT, you've just got to really listen to all the trainers' advice and show that you're implementing it. And once you build up a bit of trust like that after a few months, they'll give you a bit more creative freedom on your character and you can play with that.
Interesting.
And that they give two examples. Leo Rush is one who was uncoachable or hard to coach was the quote. And he very much struggled in those early days. There were reports that he might be released, especially after that Emma tweet that he had. But Ricochet has apparently been incredibly easy to work with, and he's made friends with everyone, and they're already letting him have more input into his character off the back of that.
And look at TV. Who is on TV? You know, at the moment, Ricochet is on. Who hasn't been seen on TV in quite some time? Leo Rush.
It just, like, I love that WWE are investing in their future, but I do get a sense, and you see this in multiple industries, that when you get a bunch of old-timey guys, which is like the trainers there from the previous generation, and they get these young, exciting talents in from around the world, those old-timey guys, with the best intentions, I think, but probably somewhere in the subconscious, they do need to justify their position a bit. Like, nah, mate, that's not how you do it. That's not how you do it. But sometimes the game's changed. Sometimes the art form has moved on. And slowing these guys down or making them work for the camera and doing this storytelling, like, all the criticism always comes, we tell stories here. You've got to be a storyteller. I have seen matches from Ricochet, from Keith Lee, which have the best stories I've ever seen, far beyond anything I've ever seen in WWE. But you get these old guys who have to justify their position in the performance centers, you know, despite the wrestling move advancing since then. And of course it would. The wrestling landscape now is far different from when they were active.
I completely agree with you. I mean, the Keith Lee match that you and I were lucky enough to be in attendance for last year against Tomohiro Ishii, that was a whole match that was built around one or the other trying to hit a suplex. Like, that was the whole match, was trying to build up to this one spot where they hit a suplex. And it was like a, you know, 20-25 minute match, all built around that. And it was an incredible piece of storytelling built around moves.
Yeah, like four moves. And you look at the main event scene over the last few massive WWE pay-per-views, those Brock Lesnar-Roman Reigns matches are just moves.
Just hitting.
Big move, big move, big move.
Finishes.
John Cena-Triple H are now just big move, big move. That's the idea of the big pay-per-view match. So it's just, it's frustrating to hear that when you go to NXT, you've got to, I know it makes total sense, but the fact that you've got to play ball to then be an individual. It's just,
yeah.
And that's where you flatten everyone out into the same style sometimes.
Yeah.
But should we get on with some crap gimmicks?
Speaking of flattening people out and perhaps making them worse than what they originally were, talk about a segue there. Crap gimmicks. If you've got a crap gimmick that you want to submit to the crap gimmick roster, which is our little jokey federation filled with rubbish gimmick wrestlers. And if you think you have something that you think is crap enough to be part of our roster, you email me at luke@wrestletalk.com and I will pick out some of my best ones. Bearing in mind, and I just want to say, because I get a lot of messages from people saying, like, you haven't read mine out. I get sent a lot of these, and we only do this once a week, so, and we only get to do like three of them. So I'm sorry if I don't get to yours. I do try to get to them all.
Maybe they're just not crap enough.
Maybe they're too good.
That's kind of a compliment.
Yeah, maybe they're too good.
I'm going to add in another thing.
Ooh.
And because we were talking before we came in here, we want to make this Saturday. Now we've changed up the Wrestle Ramble format where you've got the Tuesday Raw review, Wednesday SmackDown, and then this. But we want to try and make the Saturday one kind of a magazine-y show. And for magazine-y shows, we need jingles.
Oh, I like the way you're going with this.
So, for crap gimmicks, the Swaff Nation love crap gimmicks. The Pod Swafters love crap gimmicks. Why don't you send in some jingle pitches?
Yeah.
I mean, but because some of, like, most of them will be bad. But maybe that's not you. We have... off the back, like, who was it? Just off the back of a podcast joke. So we got a few really genuinely good renditions of the Wrestle Talk done in the theme of DuckTales.
Yeah, it's good. Well,
Pooh Bear winning the Pooh Bear.
I can't remember how this came along, but we started talking about TV theme songs that we liked when we were kids, like DuckTales, like Pinky and the Brain, Winnie the Pooh, yes. And all this sort of stuff. And then people started sending in songs about Wrestle Talk to those themes. And we got an absolutely phenomenal one. Based around DuckTales. In fact, yes. I may actually have that as the opening to this podcast. I may have it in there.
It's so really good.
It's so good.
So if you can write one, or you can adapt a song that's already in existence, or you can come up with a new crappy jingle on a GarageBand.
Yeah.
GarageBand on your
Audition.
Apple device. Send it in to luke@wrestletalk.com. I don't want to trawl through your crap.
keep them short, though. It's a jingle. Jingles are meant to be short.
Yeah, like 30 seconds max?
Max is very much 30 seconds.
And do you want them to put something in the title to show that it's...
Crap gimmick jingle.
Well, that's very descriptive. What's our first crap gimmick?
So our first one comes in from Dominic Bishop, who has suggested Nico Teen, a heel wrestler whose main gimmick is that of an obnoxious, self-aggrandizing vapor who berates the crowd week to week for smoking with the catchphrases, "I am bad for your health," and "Nicotine kicks ash." He makes his entrance with the entire arena floor being doused in smoke machines a la The Undertaker, and whilst on his way to the ring, vapes aggressively, blowing massive clouds of vape into the faces of marks and fans alike. In the ring, he uses a variety of dirty tactics to defeat his foes, such as the aforementioned e-cigarette illegal weapon strikes, a Tajiri-style poison mist, which of course does nothing as it's merely water vapor, and also distracts the ref so he can pour his bottle of e-liquid onto the canvas, so his opponents trip and fall on it like it's a slippery surface, like the Wet Bandits from Home Alone. This allows for comedy spots and shenanigans.
Yes, this is good. As soon as I was two sentences into this, I thought, oh man, you got to do a poison mist spot with the smoke, and then boom, it's in there. However, I would modify it slightly, mm-hmm. because you've put there that it does nothing as it's merely water vapor. It's wrestling. The person who is hit by this should sell it crazily.
100%
And you can
agree.
Also, like, depending on whether this particular vape has an orange citrus flavor to it, that would have a different impact on the victim than if it was lemony fresh. Well, I guess citrus is also a lemony thing.
Yeah, well, but I think...
Cinnamon.
I think you could do it differently.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So those would be like different types of kryptonite, how they affect Superman.
One of my D&D group... is a vapor, and the vapor.
Which,
like,
one?
He is what role is he currently playing at
do
the
I
moment?
Do I know him?
Gary. He was on my stag do.
Okay. Want to put him down as a vape man.
He's very much a vape man. But yeah, so he's a big vape man, and it's lovely sitting next to him while playing D&D as well, because you just get the smell of Skittles, like, for the entire time. And I, if there's one thing in this world that I love, it's the smell of Skittles.
Would you like to sit next to someone who is consuming a bag of gaseous sweets? I've never understood shisha. I've never understood that as a thing. It makes me bloated and hiccupy, and I just don't get why would what. It's just a flavor. There's no consumable aspect to it.
No. I mean, like, my ex-girlfriend, a friend of hers, was a hardcore cigarette smoker, but he then moved to e-cigarettes and vaping, and then he just said, so I just got addicted to that instead, so I haven't actually really changed anything about myself. I'm just now addicted to something different.
I kind of understand it, but I do think it's rather hilarious. In Britain, there are many vape shops, aren't there?
Mm, well, there's one just down the road.
On corners of high streets, which is a weird thing. There are no good coffee shops on our local high street, but there is a vape store where I can get the best customizable gears. I just don't understand that. Surely there are too many vape stores to people who are interested in vaping.
Well, quite possibly,
it's like a fad store that some people are, I'm into vaping, I'm going to open up a vape store. And I've never seen one that's called Vaping Bad. It makes so much sense for them to call it that. Anyway, I can see how they get into the... Because I understand if you get really into it, you're into the gears, the way certain things work and the mechanics of it.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, not for me.
It's not for me either. You know, I'm a former smoker myself, but I never moved on to vaping. It's never something that's appealed to me, other than the fact that it smells delicious. It's not really the sort of thing I'm particularly into. I'll just have a cup of tea instead.
Well, that's actual cigarettes.
Well, I was going to say, which is one of the reasons why I had to stop in the end.
So what are we doing for nicotine?
Nicotine. Well, I like nicotine. I think it's I like the entrance aspect of it in particular. I like the breathing vape smoke into the face of fans as an obnoxious heel. I like nicotine.
I'd sign him, yeah. It needs some work, though. I feel like there's something missing. It's not like a crap gimmick, great.
No, exactly. Torvis T has suggested the Gent is an English wrestler who is most definitely from the upper classes of the 1970s. His ring attire is tweed, and he's always accompanied to the ring by his butler, a classically trained butler of the Artemus Fowl School, to the theme tune Englishman in New York. His style.
How does that go again? This is the Sting one.
Yeah.
We listened to it earlier.
Yeah.
What's it?
I remember you did the best impression of it, but I can't remember how you do it now. Because I whenever I do the singing, it sounds like I don't know how the song is, because it's like da 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 da.
Yeah, yeah. Do da 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 da.
There you go.
So it's my scatting days coming back.
His style is a mix of boxing and mat technician, and his finisher is tea time. It might be gimmick infringement from another wrestling YouTube channel, perhaps. The tea time is a sleeper hold where once the wrestler passes out, he stands and stops the referee from calling the match over. He calls his butler, who presents him with a perfect cup of tea. Once he has finished his tea, he goes for the pin by standing on his unconscious opponent. If the opponent starts to wake up while he is drinking his tea, he passes the cup to his butler and smacks their head into the mat, then goes back to finish his tea. However, this still caused a few losses as some of his opponents play possum. Now, I think the problem I've got with Torvis T's the Gent is he's overthought it. There's a really simple gimmick within here, but the finish is too convoluted.
Yeah,
it does. The finish does not work for me.
I understand where you're coming from, but I also do like the visual of this cocky heel drinking the tea, being brought the tea by the butler.
That, you see, that's all the stuff I like, but that for me is spots throughout the match. It's not his finish.
Oh, okay, I see what you mean. Yeah, because it would take away from the impact. It would just make everything comedy.
Yes,
and while this is a stupid promotion, we are not purely a comedy promotion.
Absolutely not. And once again, I do want to put a bit of a call out. We get a lot of heels. Don't get a lot of baby faces.
And those are the best ones. It's hard to do a crap baby face.
Exactly. You know? Those are the ones that are hardest to get right.
It's also quite Jack Gallagher. Gallagher.
I think I'm going to pass on it for now.
Yeah.
Maybe a developmental deal, but I'm not overly convinced on it.
Sorry,
just yet.
Torvis.
Yes.
Cool name, though.
Cool name indeed.
Torvis.
John Solitude has
the Norse god.
John Solitude has suggested.
John Solitude's another great name.
I don't know if that's his real name. It's what his email name was, but I think he plays in a band, and I'm like, oh, maybe it's like an onstage persona.
No, I think he sent this email in via carrier pigeon. Electronic man. He lives out in the woods.
Yep.
Yeah, could John be. Solitude.
But anyway, his wrestler's name is called Chance. And he describes, yep, just chant. Like other one-word famous people such as Drake, Madonna, Prince, and the entire late 2000s WWE Divas roster.
Nice. That's a solid gag.
Solid gag.
Much better than my Inspector Gadget Claw one I was going to make from the Matthew Broderick
movie. Broderick. Just Claw.
Like Madonna. Why is that in my head all the time when I think of one-word names?
I don't know.
Who was it? Rupert Everett.
It was Rupert Everett, yeah. Did you ever see the second Inspector Gadget movie they did with the lad from Third Rock from the Sun? French Stewart.
Yeah, I saw the trailer. I haven't seen the movie, unfortunately.
No, I went to the cinema to see Inspector Gadget because, fun fact for you, I loved Inspector Gadget when I was a kid.
Same here.
Oh, man, what a show. Ba-ba-da-ba-da. Inspector. Oh, what a theme song that is as well.
Looking back on it, I can see why I liked it so much. It's because it was like the lore seems so deep, but you would only ever get like a surface level of it.
Mm.
But all that gore stuff at the end of each episode, I'd be like, no, but seriously, I want to know who that is. But there was no Wikipedia. I couldn't watch the next episode on Spotify. Still can't do that, mate.
So we're waiting for that technology to catch up with us. Oh, what a great show, though. Yeah. Okay, Chief, I'm on my way. It's a great character. Anyway, so his gimmick. He is possessed by an evil coin, with every decision decided via a coin flip throughout his wrestling career. If a GM gives him an option for a mid-card title or the top prize title match, he has to flip a coin to make his choice. When his opponent is down and out, he has to flip a coin to see what move he is going to do next. Whether or not Chance is a face or a heel in this match is, you guessed it, decided via the coin flip which he must use. No matter what he is at the mercy of the coin. His catchphrase, everything's left to chance, creepily said by the cursed coin.
What do you think?
I mean, well, it's Two-Face is the major issue.
You can only get two outcomes off of a coin. There are lots of wrestling moves. So I feel like this is something you would need a manager for. Where the manager would be like, a leg drop or splash.
Oh, that's great. I like that.
Because otherwise you wouldn't get any of that in the performance. It would just be a guy flipping a coin and then doing a move. You wouldn't know him cycling through the many different types of wrestling moves there are.
Exactly. So maybe Chance is this manager, this managerial role, and he has a cursed person who he has put a curse upon with the coin or whatever it is.
That's good. It's not lighting our world on fire.
I completely agree. To be honest, like this email more or less got it just for that early joke right at the start, which was, that was a 5-star joke.
And John Solitude.
And finally, we've got a very quick mailbag segment for you. Oh, hello.
If you've got some mailbag jingles.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Luke at WrestleTalk.com. What should they title that?
Mailbag jingle.
Okay, there you go. Write that down.
You don't want to forget it, because if it's not called that, then I probably won't read it. It will just get archived, because Google Mail, I'm quite frivolous with Frugal Mail.
That's what Mick Foley uses.
Anywho, so if you want to send us a question for us to answer here on the Saturday Wrestle Ramble, you have to become one of our pledge hammers, which are people who donate to it or pledge to us on Patreon. Any dollar amount will get you the ability to send a question in to the Wrestle Ramble, but a $5 backing will get you access to Wrestle Ramble Extra, where we review wrestling pay-per-views from history. This week has just gone up, WrestleMania X7, arguably the best WrestleMania of all time, which is a podcast that clocks in at 4 hours and 38 minutes. It is actually 38 minutes longer than the pay-per-view itself.
We've got no filter. I'm sorry, folks. We criticise WWE for putting out too much content, and then we go and record a 4-hour, 38-minute podcast.
And
episode.
It is a lot of nonsense in there.
Yeah.
A lot of nonsense. What is your highlight of the episode, though?
That time where we reveal who Byron Saxton is.
Oh, well.
I mean, sorry, you'll have to listen to the podcast and pledge.
Good shout.
To find that out.
And if you are a $10 backer, or if you want to become a $10 backer, in a couple of weeks we'll be posting up our next episode of Ramble Club, where we review wrestling matches from outside of the WWE main roster sphere. Anyway, so on to the mailbag. Matt Noble has emailed in. Matt Noble has
actually... Another good name.
He's actually just come back to being a pledge hammer, so he's one of...
Welcome
back, Matt. Do you think... to get to the point...
You still got it.
Do you think we'll ever get to a point where not only are pay-per-views Raw and SmackDown shows, but will also feature from time to time on the card a match from NXT?
I like the idea, but I don't want more matches on the pay-per-views.
Well, what if it's in place of a match? Like, what if NXT match was on the card of Backlash instead of Braun the Strowman and Bobby Lashley versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn?
I think that's a good idea. I don't think I'd have it every month. Or maybe I would.
Well, the problem
there's an argument to having an NXT match on Raw. I don't know why they don't do that to promote the network. It's like the network is now this thing that WWE have to have alongside the main broadcast television. You've won me over. If it's not adding an extra match to the already way too long running order, and it means something and it's presented correctly, yes, I would like that a lot.
The only issue that you would have, however, is that NXT tapes a lot of in advance, so you would have to try and work out the storylines that you could tell to be able to put onto a pay-per-view match without that then interfering with stuff you've taped that happens after said pay-per-view match.
I'm sure they can make that work. They're clever folks there, scheduling-wise.
They certainly are clever folks, but I do agree with you as well that I think that WWE needs to do more to kind of advertise what NXT is and try and make people want to watch it, and the only way to watch that is to become a network subscriber, kind of like what we're doing with Wrestle Ramble Extra. I hasten to add.
It's like
sorry, I mean, my favorite example of WWE not really getting this was when NXT was like kind of in its infancy on the WWE network. Obviously, NXT had run before this, but when it was in its WWE network era and it was like Charlotte and Bayley and Sasha Banks and all this in their women's division, Charlotte had a pay per view match, like a takeover match that was coming up. So they had her on the main roster losing to Natalya in Charlotte's hometown. Like, how do you do that?
Well,
like, what were you thinking?
It's just the most WWE thing ever,
it
isn't it?
It just made no sense to me. But sorry, you were going to say.
Well, I was going to say it's like 205 Live has suffered a similar fate. And not that apparently it's much better now. I don't really watch it. But at least try and promote it on Raw or SmackDown. I feel like there's nothing on SmackDown anymore. They've been completely cut from Raw. There's no cruiserweight matches there. So it's just these separate entities.
Man, we'll one day look back on the purple rope era of Raw. This time last year, you and I were at a Raw show where we had to watch them change the colour of the ropes.
Furiously.
Oh, they were very quick at it. Jared Connitzer asks, I'm not sure how to phrase this question. How long can Elias go without a title before he loses legitimacy? Or how long can he go without a title? Well, that's basically the same question. How long without a title before he loses, or how long can he go without a title? That's the same question. He obviously has the ability to be a 6 to 10 month IC champ with some great babyface chasers.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's difficult, though, because Raw doesn't have enough titles right now. The Universal title is off wherever with Brock, which makes a kind of mid-card, top-of-the-card vacuum. And when you look at everyone else on their roster, a lot of other people should have it over Elias. Like Finn Balor should have it over Elias. Seth Rollins. Roman Reigns is even Braun Strowman should have the Intercontinental title, really. Elias will be fine doing what he does at the moment. And it's not like the wrestling part is the bit everyone likes to see about Elias.
Yeah.
So I do get your concerns, but the landscape of Raw is very odd, skewered at the moment.
Absolutely. I agree. I think that having a title will help Elias, but it's not like he really needs a title right now. But like when the time comes and he does go up against someone like a Seth Rollins for the Intercontinental Championship, I mean, they look exactly the same, so it'll be very difficult to tell while the matches are going on. So, but you know, it'll be fun to watch nonetheless.
Elias has got a fuller face.
That's how it is.
He's got a fuller face.
They've just got like chest hair, black pants, long black hair, and big black beards.
Oh, if Elias wrestles in that kimono.
And the kimono, well, that's how you've got to do it, really.
That's
how you do it. Yeah, well, they've not booked this feud just yet. And lastly, from Laura. Ooh, how to see the surname.
All right, it's fine. That sneeze has been coming for 10 minutes. Oh,
that's what
that
she
was
said.
Amazing.
ECK.
Oh, yes, what a rush.
ECK, ERLE. Eckerly?
Eckerl. Eckerly.
Yeah.
Laura Eckerly.
Eckerly. Laura Eckerly. I do apologise, Laura, if we got that wrong. Let us know on Patreon. Recently, I found myself in a position where I questioned WWE's standpoint when it comes to the women's evolution. Now, well, this is posted before the Greatest Royal Rumble. Now, with the Greatest Royal Rumble approaching, where do cultural differences to female wrestlers are allowed to seem like the company's taking a step back? Being a female myself, I have to wonder, though, does the women's evolution only entail to in-ring talent? Where are the female referees?
replace the female commentators, etc. With talents like Renee Young very suitable for commentary, why bother bringing back Jonathan Coachman? I feel when it gets to the glass ceiling, the WWE is very limited to their in-ring performers whilst not acting loyal to them, as the Greatest Royal Rumble proves. My question is now, what do you believe has to happen in WWE and the wrestling industry in general to acknowledge females in a more dominant and male to be more dominant in a male-dominated commentary, day-to-day basis, and not just occasion when it suits them, like the Mae Young Classic? Luke and Ollie, you guys rock, keep up the great work. It's highly appreciated. Sorry for butchering your email towards the end there, Laura. But yeah, it's a very interesting point, because they are promoting this women's evolution, but it is very much just because we have women wrestlers doing stuff now.
Mm. Well, what I like about this email is that it's got a very simple answer. This is not a huge discussion that needs to be had with loads of points. It's just do it better, WWE.
And they have got a female referee now down in NXT, and she is working. She is training. She is one, but it is a starting point. It's like with the argument for WWE going over to Saudi Arabia. It's a start. You have to make your first step in order to progress further. It's a potential argument. On the commentary side of things, I always wondered why they never used Renee Young in a commentary role. She did use commentary on NXT for a little bit. But what I have been told on several occasions when I brought this up is that Renee Young doesn't want to do commentary. She likes doing the backstage interviews. She likes doing shows on the network. She's not interested in doing week-to-week commentary, which is why they brought back Jonathan Coachman, I guess.
Also, doing commentary is a completely different skill set to everything else. I've seen people do it, and it's just incomprehensibly difficult. A lot of people always say on the YouTube comments, "Oh, Ollie and Luke should commentate for WWE." And we're like, I have no idea. Oh, you would make great commentators. Thank you for thinking that, but we have no idea. It's so far removed from everything else. You've got so many things to keep in mind when you're doing it. So that's not necessary. But that's not really the point. That was just an example you used as Renee. I always thought Paige would be better as a commentator, but she is in an authority figure position. It's a difficult one. What do you believe has to happen in the wrestling industry to put females in more dominant male and roles?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like what you're seeing at the moment with engineering jobs and more technical based jobs, and across what is it like science, maths, and all those. The problem is that a lot men seem to be a lot more interested in those areas, whereas ladies tend on average, overall, looking at the entire population, they just tend to go to more roles, that jobs that aren't just focused on sitting in front of something and obsessively working on something. Overall, women appear to be more interested in working with other people and having more collaborative based jobs, and that this is backed up by research in the Scandinavian countries as well. So it's like maybe there's a problem where wrestling is a more, you're going to get 90% of job applications are going to be from men.
Yeah.
So and what you don't want to do then is just start giving people jobs based on their gender rather than the merit. But that's not to say that a lot more should be done in equalizing the opportunities and showcasing women for their actual talents, more than just like they are eye candy, or we can do that, like we can just put them here. Like Beth Phoenix is not a good commentator, but she's been put there as a woman. Same thing can be made for Coachman, Booker T, etc., whoever's on that third position in the commentary teams, to make it more racially balanced. Like, people should be based on, it should be done on merit, not on identity.
Yeah, and I used to help run a website. You and I have done stuff for WrestleTalk as well. But when you kind of put out these applications, I always think that there aren't enough female voices in film journalism, particularly in an online landscape where it is a very, very male dominated thing. I think that wrestling commentary is very male dominated as well, and I'd love to hear some more female voices. But when we do ever put out applications, things, we get a lot of, it's predominantly male applicants. When I used to advertise for writers on a movie website that I was running, every time we'd advertise, it was always predominantly male. Like, and I'm like 98% of the applicants that would come forward would be male. So it's one of those things. Like, it's my wife has sort of argued before that it's a encouragement thing. Like, we should be encouraging more. And I definitely think there is very much an argument for that. And I think that's an excellent point. And it isn't, like, I was watching a really fascinating show that they did on BBC Two.
a couple of weeks ago, where they were trying to like they tried to create a gender fluid school. Like, so it's like apparently like from the ages of sort of like 5 and 6, that is when you, a child is told this is what boys do and this is what girls do, and then those sort of lessons are then just carried on into their teenage and adult lives. You know, boys wear blue, girls wear pink. You know, that's from birth. Like, you know, they sort of do that. Boys wear t-shirts with dinosaurs and cars. Girls wear t-shirts with unicorns and princesses. Girls read these sorts of books. Boys read these sorts of books. And it's trying to remove that to try and make everything seem just completely equal. And when doing that, maybe that will create these sorts of avenues. But this is very much a non-wrestling thing we've gone through. But that's kind of what I think it is. It is because the question is, you know, what has to happen in WWE and the wrestling industry? It almost feels like that is what needs to change. It is more opportunities coming forward, but more women putting themselves forward for these opportunities, perhaps.
And unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen for another generation, because I see what happens with Bailey now, and Bailey walking out and hugging those kids, and we get sent clips of people who watch WrestleTalks, kids, young girls, really enjoying Sasha Banks' entrance and stuff like that. And that's awesome. And hopefully those are the women who are going to grow up with these positive female role models in wrestling, which is a very new thing for WWE,
isn't it,
if you look back at the last 2-3 decades. Mm. Hopefully, in 5 or 6 years' time, those girls who have become women will still love wrestling enough to then try and get into the industry, and you'll have a larger pool of people to choose from across genders. So hopefully, unfortunately, this isn't going to change anytime soon. And if it does, it will just be a surface thing. But in 5-10 years, maybe it will be a bit more substantial.
Before we jump into iTunes reviews and get the heckins on out of here, just got a quick bit of correspondence here from Ben Wheatland, who sent us an email to thank us for being consistent. Hi, Luke and Ollie. I've been meaning to write into you since you mentioned you got the new email, but kept getting sidetracked by work. I just wanted to say a big thanks for getting me hooked right back into wrestling. I used to enjoy playing the PS1 games back in the day, but was never a proper fan. I didn't watch any shows, my parents wouldn't allow it, despite a wholly inappropriate love for Shawn Michaels. Fast forward to last year, a few weeks before WrestleMania 33, I am now living in Poland with my lady partner, and I've just gotten into stand-up comedy. The guy who runs the group is American and a huge fan of WWE, and he invited me round to watch the show with him. I loved it, but afterwards I realised I had a lot of catching up to do. Learning what kayfabe is, / was, and other basics was the first step, but I still couldn't really find any connection to it all. Then, on one fateful day, I came across your podcast. That was it. Having been circling the bait out for a few weeks, you guys got me hooked. Your combination of rambling chat, entertaining opinions, really helped me find my inner fan, and I have listened to all the podcasts since. When WrestleMania 34 rolled around and my American pal was unable to host us for the show, some friends and I got our asses into gear and organized our own showing. Once again, despite the final third of the show, I had an excellent time. Well done, lads. Keep up the great and consistent work. If you're ever in Wrocław, Poland, I know some killer vegan places. Cheers, Ben. What a lovely little email from Ben.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you very much, Ben.
What about meat places?
Well, I could tell you some meat places in Poland, because I went to Warsaw in Poland a few years back, and that's...
Is that anywhere near where he said?
I'll tell you what. Should we Google things live on air?
Yes, I love it. I'll do an iTunes review while you Google stuff. This is from Thinking Outside the Long Box, from Consistently Swaffed. Yes. I started watching wrestling again last year, right around the time, this time after a long hiatus. Knowing that I had missed tons of plot, I wanted to try to catch up with what was going on in the world of wrestling, so I started looking around for wrestling podcasts. Thank Crom that this is one of the first ones that I have found. It is consistently funny, entertaining, and informative, and I can always listen to them, to the Raw and SmackDown reviews, to keep up if I miss an episode on TV. Hands down my favourite wrestling podcast. Stay swaffed and never change.
Yeah, thank you very much, Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Oh my god, I am just... What has happened?
Oh, what has happened here, man? It's just like everything is exiting your nose.
Well, I had two options there. I could sniff mid-review and do thinking outside the long box of this service, or I could just let the snot slowly run down my face.
I can see it, like the light shining off on your fingers. Yeah.
Yes, it's glistening. it's glistening. Who needs moisturiser?
Absolutely. Warsaw is a 3-hour and 20-minute drive away from Wroclaw in Poland. So
I have no need for your recommendations.
No, my recommendations are useless to you. Do you want another one last bit of correspondence?
Go on then.
From Michael Brown, who said, "Hey, Luke, I really don't understand why people would complain about getting so much content. Many and long podcasts are the best, especially when they're coming from you two. I've been listening since the very first episode of the Wrestle Talk show, and it's easily one of my favourite podcasts. It's usually the best part of my week when I get to listen to you guys." And he sent us an image of all of the podcasts that he has not listened to yet. And it's just like, "That's what I love to see, one or more podcasts a day. Haha. And although I don't have iTunes, I give you guys a consistent 5 stars with a star emoji. Hope you can make it to Melbourne, Australia someday, or go to WrestleMania next year, as I'll be going to that. Would love to meet you both. Cheers, Michael."
Wow, we're getting we've got a few places to stay around the world.
Yeah.
We could do a world tour.
Well, we were looking at our stats and stuff from the podcast of where our most listened to areas are. And obviously it's the States and the United Kingdom. But within the United States, I think if we did a show in New York, we could attract a fairly decent crowd.
How many? 5? 6?
Oh, upwards of 10.
Whoa. Possibly 10 whole people.
Possibly a dozen.
Oh my god, that would make me cry. That would make me just break down with all those people
and
watching us.
Not only that, but your anxiety.
Fear, yes. And
just
fear as well.
Kick into overdrive. But that's all I've got for correspondence. Do you want to do another review?
If they all really like us, they could come to Wrestling Media Con, where we will actually be in Manchester in September.
Yeah.
I'll do one more review, and then I really do have to blow my nose. This is not a 5-star review, Luke. This is a 3-star review. I have no idea why it's a 3-star review.
Did they click it by accident?
It feels like it should be a 5-star review. Unless they're rating it genuinely. Well, we probably are, around 3 stars. But that's not what you do on iTunes. You give everyone 5 stars.
Or 1 star.
Or 1 star.
It is a very fair assessment, to be honest. 3 stars is probably what I would give this show.
Ladies Love Wrestling 2.
It's very true.
Is the name of the title. And it's from I Love You.
Oh, come on. You've got to do the proper voice.
You do the proper voice.
I love you.
That is honestly like nails on a chalkboard. I hate it. Ollie and Luke, please give a shout out to all the lady listeners out there. Let's get 1 million listeners. Before you even try and do the shout out, Luke, I can see you positioning your fingers to do it. We are not going to do that because that is only a 3-star review. You are lucky we read that out. I love you. As if you actually do.
But shout out to all the ladies that do listen to this show. I hope that we didn't come across as too knobbish in that final question. You and I are not authority figures really to be speaking on these sorts of subjects, but I thought we did okay. My wife will have some points, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I think I don't regret anything. And I'm also going to say shout out to all the guy listeners.
Yeah, shout out to the guy listeners.
Equal. Shout out to all the human listeners. No matter what gender or ethnicity or anything you are.
And that's why the SWAF Nation is so cool. SWAF Nation is all-encompassing.
It's SWAF Nation for all, until we do that show in Saudi Arabia in 2 months' time, in which case, it's only Saudi Arabia for the guys. I mean, SWAF Nation for the guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're getting paid loads for
that. Oh, got so much money. And we might get Yokozuna there.
Yes, that would be great. Cool. Well, we'll see you on Monday for Backlash. It's finally Backlash, everyone, after a year of it nearly happening.
It's actually here. There's a pay-per-view tomorrow. Can you ruddy believe it? And we'll see you on Monday. Love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.